The BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour at 866-987-2570 will give you a question. You give us your 30-second take. Dazzle us. You'll win a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. On Wednesdays, $10 loaded burgers, unlimited fries, $4 BJ's signature handcrafted beers. Rodney is off, and it's a pleasure to have Kelvin Washington in today.
Fred, what's going on, my man?
It is great to work with you. I was a fan. I listened to you. I know you. I think it's terrific. We're going to have fun.
Well, since we're just throwing out the compliments, it's great to be here with you. I mean, an L.A. legend, when I first moved here, everyone always talking about you, got to see you all over the place. Now I'm doing a show with you, living a dream, Vic. I'm living a dream.
I'll tell you what, you call me a legend, that's great. That only indicates I'm old. So I don't need that from you right off the top.
No, mature and wise, okay?
Go wise. Go wise. Not even mature.
Not old.
Just go wise.
Not old. Wise. That's all. Wise. Okay. But you got the hip sexy specs on. See,
you like
so
this?
You're keeping it fly. I like that.
Yeah, my kids gave these to me for Father's Day.
Good choice.
That's right. They're just readers. I'm not blind. I want that on the record.
Yeah.
All right, Vic, we've got World Cup. What's going on?
Viva Mexico. Viva Mexico, El Tri. This is the best team in the country's history, I'm telling you. 13 players off elite Euro clubs, and they're now in the Sweet 16. They reached the knockout stage today despite the loss to Sweden. No problemo for Mexico. El Tri has advanced out of this group in the last six World Cups. So it's nothing new for Mexico to get to this round. But here's the El Gigante pregunta for Mexico. Never won a knockout round match outside of Mexico. Can they win that vital fifth game against maybe Brazil next week? Mexico's best World Cup stuff, quarterfinals in 1970 and 1986. And here's a fun fact for you guys. Of the eight nations with a taste of 15 cups, Mexico is the solamente, the only country never to win that elusive golden ball.
That's going to change this year? Is that what you're telling me, Vic?
Most talented Mexican team in its history. This is a very, very good Mexican team, and they're expecting big things. You know, they knew they're going to get out of the group, even though, you know, lost to Sweden. But now Mexico and South Korea are brothers and sisters. They are united. Their chance of Korea, coming out of East L.A. today because they beat Germany. The defending champs will have been knocked out.
It's free kimchi day.
You're telling me. It's a beautiful thing. I wish it was free kimchi day. I love kimchi. Bottom line is, Mexico's through despite the loss to Sweden. And thank you so much to Korea, South Korea, right, for knocking out Alemania.
That's been the crazy thing about it. If you're a casual soccer fan, as many people are when the World Cup comes around, is how confusing it can be. If you lose, you can still win. You can still advance, but if that team wins, then you can no longer advance. I mean, it gets confusing a bit, but so I'm hoping they can do something. It's great around LA when Mexico does well. Everybody, all my friends are happy. My Twitter is going crazy. My Instagram is a party. I hope they continue to succeed.
Yeah, but the point is this. Going forward, if they lose, they're out. They can't lose in advance. That can't happen again.
Exactly. Win or adios.
Right. All right. So here's the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question, 866-987-2570. This is a big deal. Now, I don't know if you're a fan of the World Cup. Don't know if you keep an eye on it, but this is actually a pretty big deal. So today for BJ's, what does this win, what does this advancement by Mexico mean to you? Does it mean anything at all? Are you even watching the World Cup? And if you are, does this mean something special? Because Los Angeles is so heavily Latino. 866-987-2570. Get online. We'll sprinkle them in. Your best 30-second take will earn you a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Kelvin, the story this morning, the Lakers are now feeling pressure to trade for Kawhi Leonard. To be very honest with you, I have no idea why they're feeling more pressure today than they were yesterday or why they won't feel as much pressure tomorrow, but that's the story today.
Well, I think, Fred, the pressure comes from LeBron, and what we've heard over the last few days is LeBron already, it seems as if he has his mind made up. He said he doesn't want all the pomp and circumstance. He doesn't want the fanfare. He just wants to, you know, kind of, he seems to have his mind already made up. And so I think what's happening is, if you feel as though LeBron is not going to come somewhere specifically with the Lakers by himself, then you need another piece, and that's why I think the urgency is now pressing for the Lakers to get Kawhi Leonard, to make a trade with the Spurs. But I just don't know if the Spurs are as easily swayed to make this trade with the Lakers as people may think. I know people will say they're going to lose him, you know, and you might as well get something for nothing.
Right.
But the Spurs have shown us, Fred, that they were able to, whether it's Tim Duncan, then he gets all, okay, we got Ginobili and Parker. Well, they get old, we get this guy that no one else wanted, and Kawhi Leonard, and we draft him. And who is this guy? Next thing you know, he's a finals MVP. And then they continue to win this year, this past season, without him. He's hurt. LaMarcus Aldridge leads his team, and they do very well. So if there's one organization that can say we can withstand someone just walking, I think it would be them. So it's going to be really interesting the next few days.
See, have you ever heard of Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker?
Have.
Okay. You know what he would call that?
What would he call it?
Stinking thinking. And here's
stinkin'
why. Stinking thinking. Here's
why. Is he in
why.
Trouble right now?
Shouldn't he be? he's a motivational speaker. Here's why. Look. I understand the philosophy that we have always put this together here and we have won and we always, it's next man up and we have a system that endures. The problem is they're not in control here. Kawhi Leonard is. They have ceded control because of his impending free agency. He can force them. Now, you can sit there and cut off your nose to spite your face and say, you know what, we're going to sit here and we're going to fix you good, mister. You're going to sit here and play. I'll tell you what. When that hamstring tightens up again, that's not going to be good news.
Are you saying he's going to Kawhi? I mean, he's going to Kyrie it up?
He may Kyrie it
he
up.
He might Kyrie it up. Well, and I get your point there. But also, I think there's still a little bit of leverage when you talk about the Spurs in that they don't have to make a deal now. They can say, let's see who's going to become desperate next season, say January. You know, who's going to say, all right, we're just a Kawhi away from making something happen. And then you can sell them to somebody maybe as a rental, but at least you finally got something and you didn't help the Lakers. And not to mention, you didn't help the Lakers not only get Kawhi, also get LeBron.
But
if by holding out on Kawhi, I don't let you get LeBron, then it was worth it.
Okay, but here's the question. If they do the rental game, if they wait, they're not going to get as much in return. Right now is their best opportunity to get as much as they can in return. If they deal with the Lakers, you know, look, Brandon Ingram could be moved. Lonzo Ball could be moved.
I don't think there's anybody that can't be moved.
And that's my point. You're getting guys. Brandon Ingram's 20 years old. Brandon Ingram can play. I mean, Lonzo, I think the jury's out. I think his father brings a lot to the table that nobody really likes.
Could you imagine his father with Popovich? That would be hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think his father would speak anymore. Because you know what? Getting traded, if Lonzo got traded, that is the equivalent of getting hit upside the head with a fungo bat.
I don't, Fred, I know you don't believe that. You can't believe that.
Why?
Have you seen the man? There, he knows no end. He's going to continue to talk. It doesn't matter because then he'll just say, this is part of the plan. See, we're going to get him back to the Lakers. See, we're just waiting on LiAngelo and LaMelo. That's all. Matter of fact, he's going to go back to the Lakers as the three amigos. That's what we're going to call him.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. When the Lakers released the fact that LiAngelo was not invited to Summer League, nobody ever announces they're not invited. They announce who is invited.
I heard you talking about that.
Not who's not invited.
Right.
He's not invited. And then you see this tape of this horrific performance he had in a pre-draft camp. That leaked out as well.
It was bad.
That was a direct message to Dad.
But, I get frustrated that we even had these conversations that, like, I watched him. I used to live in Chino Hills. And I watched him play with a couple of years ago in the championship. And I said, oh, wow, he's good for a high school player.
Exactly.
The thought that he had a chance in the NBA, I was upset that we had to, as our profession, we had to entertain that conversation. Talk to me about LaMelo. Okay, maybe we can have that conversation. We didn't need to have that conversation with LiAngelo. I thought it was obvious.
Yeah, well, it was obvious to everybody but Dad. And now LiAngelo. And I feel badly for him, to be honest with you. He is a kid put in a very difficult spot now. I mean, he's come under scrutiny through no means of his own, except that he shoplifted. But aside from that, he is under scrutiny because his father did that to him. Quickly, do you think the Lakers are under any more pressure right now to get Kawhi?
I think there is a tad bit more pressure if LeBron is not making a move without someone else. And it's just pressure's been the word of the day, 24, 36 hours now with Magic putting himself under pressure. I'll step down in a couple years. Obviously now pressure to get Kawhi. So there is pressure mounting for the Lakers to make a move. It's that time. It's sitting there. They have the space and the opportunity to make something happen.
The Lakers have made a move.
Okay. My ears are perked.
All right, we'll get to it when we come back. The BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question. What do you think about Mexico advancing in the World Cup? Do you even care? Give us a call. Your best 30-second take. Get you a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. The Laker breaking news. And we go to Cleveland for an update on LeBron James. It's Fred Rogan and Calvin Washington on AM 570 LA Sports.
I tried to say I'd be there waiting for Danny the girl is singing songs to me.
See, for that very reason, Rodney's off today. Kelvin Washington's in.
What's up, Rodney? Wherever he is. What's going on, Rodney?
I just want to say what's up to Rodney. But you know what would help?
What?
Turning my mic on.
Yeah, that would help.
Yeah, that would help. I was just saying, hey, Rodney, he's I'm assuming he's going to play this back at some point, so he'll hear me say hello.
Yeah, your voice transcends anyway. You don't even need a microphone.
They heard me through yours.
That's how I know.
That's how I know that you're the man. See, when you call for Batman, you have the red phone. You have the red mic cover. Everybody else has a black one. You got the red mic cover over here. See, that's how I know you're special, Fred.
No, I'm special because somebody stole my black one.
Okay.
So I went and got the red one and then put my name on it.
All right, that makes sense.
Right, because I don't want anybody taking my mic sock.
I can tell you got a little serious about that, too. Like the way your eyebrows furled. I can tell you got a little serious about that.
Well, see, everybody says that. Matt always says that. I see your eyebrows furled. They don't. They don't furl.
So we're wrong.
That's right.
Everybody else is wrong except you.
That's right. And you know what? It's always been that way in my life, and I don't understand it. Everybody's always been wrong.
It's just when you get the serious face, there's an element, just a little bit of gangster.
Oh, really?
Just a little bit. I just want you to know that. But that's a good thing.
That's something people have told me. I'm a little gangster. All right, you want this Laker breaking news? They have done something. They have extended a qualifying offer to Julius Randle, which basically they had to do.
Right. This is securing that. Oh, we didn't get Kawhi. LeBron decides to stay in Cleveland. Julius! The guy we've been waiting for. We've been wanting to sign you the whole time. They can have him, kind of on ice.
See, the deal with Julius Randle, and they made a mistake. And they made a mistake because they didn't really know. When you draft these guys, Lonzo Ball, D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, you're drafting kids. That's all you're doing. You're drafting guys, really, from a glorified AAU tournament. And then you draft them and wait for them to develop and hope they do. They didn't think he would turn out to be this good. They could have done this last year. Mm-hmm. But by waiting, Kelvin, now they find themselves in the position where they could lose him.
But I think they're okay with that gamble because as good as he has been, and you got to give him a lot of credit, last season, they benched him. He wasn't starting.
Yep.
And he kind of had a bad attitude at first, but credit him for finding a way to rebound from that, no pun intended, as he's a great rebounder, and bounce back and have a really nice season. But I think you're willing to take the risk to lose a Julius Randle if that means I can have cap space get a Kawhi Leonard or a LeBron or a Paul George. So I think because he's not transcendent. Obviously, LeBron is. Kawhi looks as if he's that, obviously, if healthy. So they're willing to take that risk. But he is a really good player who just needs a right hand and a jump shot.
Yeah. Well,
nothing big.
Nothing big. Just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Yeah. But I'll tell you, and James Worthy has said it, when you watch Julius Randle now, you may be looking at a young Karl Malone.
And that's the thing. How long are you willing to babysit? And you mentioned it with these kids now. How long are you willing to let a 20-year-old Lonzo Ball grow? And I think that's the one of the issues with the whole one and done was that now these kids, you almost feel as if you have to draft whoever the him is, in this case, Lonzo or Julius. But now it's how long are you going to keep him in the incubator? How long is he going to have to develop before the crowd, your fans are mad, they're displeased with the draft pick, and then you feel the pressure of having to deal him? How long? D'Angelo Russell, he got, 2 years? Get out.
And he was immature, and that's why they got rid of him. Bad work ethic, AAU mentality. Showed up, thought he was the man, better than everybody, above everything else. Okay, we have a surprise for you. Enjoy Brooklyn.
Yeah. And then now you get Nick Young saying, what did he say? I was once snitched on, now I got a ring on, or whatever. Now he gets to do that because of D'Angelo.
Yeah, and he also got to just say this. I think everybody should do cocaine.
When I heard that, I was hoping there was some more context. Like, maybe he was saying on Grand Theft Auto. Like, he didn't finish the sentence. That's what he was. Everybody should do cocaine when playing Grand Theft Auto. I thought it was something like that, Fred. I didn't think he just meant that. See, he's been hanging out in the Bay Area too long.
Is that what it is?
It's too free willy, and everybody's just willy-nilly out there. That's what it is.
You know what he needs to do?
What is that?
Shut up. All right.
He didn't know how to.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go. BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour. All right. Mexico has advanced in the World Cup. Is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Are you excited? Do it in 30 seconds. Tony in Santa Clarita, go.
Mexico was in the tank to help Sweden, and Putin told the referees to dump Germany. Because not only is Mexico not even a wild card team, now they're going to be in the play-in game to be the wild card team. And they're going to get blown out in the next game because whoever they play is going to be way better than Sweden. So this was all contrived to get rid of Germany because Putin does not want Germany to go forward.
Okay, that was a little deeper than we had anticipated.
Right. It got very political.
A little more thought than we thought would occur. We just thought people would celebrate, but it's your take. Let's go. Brian in Hacienda Heights, go ahead.
First of all, I want to say thank you to South Korea. I think this is an important game for Mexico to advance because most of the team is already old and nearing their end of the career. So if they advance, it'll bring the whole old generation of fans. And, yeah, go Mexico.
All right. That was a little more in line than what we thought it would be.
I wanted a little bit more, though. He was on hold too long. I wanted a little bit more. Give me a little bit more excitement.
All right, you want the excitement. Yeah, don't go over 30 seconds. We don't want to budge you. Greg in Lake Elsinore, go ahead.
I'm a U.S. soccer fan, and I'm a Dodgers fan. That said, I do not want Mexico to win. I want them to lose. I don't root for the Giants when they're in the playoffs. That's all I got to say. Go whoever plays Mexico.
Okay. 866-987-2570. If you want a piece of BJ's, jump on in here. And we'll keep sprinkling your calls in. But let's get back to the NBA for a second, Kelvin, and bring on Chris Fedor. He's the Cavs and NBA reporter for Cleveland.com. Maybe he'll have some insight for us now on LeBron James and what he's thinking. Chris, thanks for being here.
You got it, guys.
All right. You're there. Catch us up. What is LeBron James going to do?
We're starting with that question, right?
Let's just get to it.
I think the best way that I can phrase it is nobody knows at this point exactly, but I think you have it narrowed down to the most likely options. And I think that's a little bit further than the place that we were, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that. I think truly it is a two-team race between Cleveland and Los Angeles. And I would say if you want to throw a third team in the mix, I would say Philly is there, probably more of a long shot than the other two. I just think if you go by what LeBron has said, he wants to be in championship mode, and this decision is going to impact his family greatly. He's going to consider his family with this one more than the other two that he made, probably. I think the two places that combine home and basketball the most are Los Angeles and Cleveland. So that's as far as I will go right now, because I think a lot of things still have to play out when it comes to the NBA and in free agency, and what the league looks like on July 1st is probably going to be different than what it looks like right now. And then on July 6th, it's going to be even more different than the way that it looks right now.
Chris, how much weight do you put in to the fact that we all assume LeBron's not coming to L.A. unless he has someone else? Is that true? I mean, do you think there's a part of LeBron that would come to L.A. just by himself because that's the best thing for him and his family?
Yeah, I think that is a possibility, actually, because it could be the place that his family wants to be. I'm not saying that's where his family wants to be. I don't know. I'm not part of that family, but I could see a scenario where his family says, hey, can we go to Los Angeles? That's where we want to be. We have a house there already. Your business empire is there already. And maybe LeBron and the family looks at it saying, let's get Bronny into the eighth grade scene in California somewhere so that he can get acclimated, so he can meet new people, and then he can transition smoothly from eighth grade into high school and go to one of the private high schools that's one of the best programs in the country in terms of high school basketball. I think that is a possibility. But at the same time, if you go back to some of the things that LeBron said, he's still in championship mode. He still wants to take down the Warriors. He still wants to add rings and add to his legacy. So I think it would be harder for me to see him going to Los Angeles if Paul George, for example, decides to stay in Oklahoma City, or if the Lakers can't pull something off with Kawhi Leonard, or maybe Kemba Walker's not an option. I'm not convinced that LeBron wants to be the first one to leap to the Lakers in free agency. Again, it's possible because his family may decide that's just the best thing for them in terms of life and where they want to set up their new home. But from a basketball standpoint, it would be hard for me to see that.
Chris Fedor, Cavs and NBA reporter for Cleveland.com, with us on AM570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Kelvin Washington in today. Two things, Chris. First of all, I've got to believe that wherever he goes, he's going to want to be in a position where he can win. I mean, he's just not playing out the string here. And if that's the case, you have to look at the Laker roster and the Cleveland roster and try to determine what would give him his best opportunity to win. Secondly, I don't know if he jumps before somebody else does. I mean, I've got to believe that he pretty much knows what he's going to do, Chris.
I don't know if he knows for sure, but I think, obviously, Fred, I think he has the places that are most likely to him, right? He had to go into this thing with some kind of power rankings in his own mind. He's so smart. The people around him are so smart. They know all the things that they need to know, or many of the things that they need to know to make this kind of decision. So there's obviously teams that he and his people consider front runners, and then second, and then third, because it's just the human thing to do. When you're going to buy a house, you have certain things that you're looking for. And I've always compared this to buying a house. Maybe it's not going to be the perfect one for you, but you're looking for the one that checks the most boxes. And in terms of the roster with Los Angeles, I think the thing that's so appealing about the Lakers situation, guys, is that, and you don't want to take past things and say, because something happened in the past, it's going to happen in the future, because I think that's a dangerous game to play. But in the past, when LeBron decided to go to Miami, that was not a finished product. Miami was the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference the year before, so it wasn't some huge juggernaut. But LeBron recognized what Miami could be, and Miami was able to turn into a super team with Dwayne, LeBron, and Chris Bosh. And when he decided to come back to the Cavs in 2014, they were a mess. They were horrible. They were celebrating lottery wins as opposed to wins on the basketball court. But he recognized what they could become because of some of the young assets that they had on that team and what they could grow into. And I look at the Lakers situation, it's kind of a combination of Miami's cap space that they had in 2010 and the Cavs' assets that they had to pull off a blockbuster trade. And the Lakers have both. So I think he looks at it as they can become the next super team in LA. Things have to fall into place. Players have to agree to go there, or they have to be able to pull off those trades. But I think the ceiling of what the Lakers can become is much higher than what the Cavs can become, even if they go out, try and make some trades and try and sign some free agents, because they just don't have the flexibility that Los Angeles does.
Hey, Chris, quickly, talk about the devastation. Let's say LBJ decides to leave and he comes west for greener pastures, and he comes out here. Mm-hmm. What is that going to do to the city of Cleveland? I mean, I've heard so many $400, $500 million he brings just by him alone to the local businesses. Talk about that.
Oh, it's going to affect them greatly. And I think that's the thing that always makes this kind of decision with LeBron so difficult for Cavs fans. And I don't think they would react the same way if he goes. And I want to stress that it's still an if. I know I'm talking like the Lakers are the front runner because I believe that they are. But people around LeBron have been saying, even going back to the NBA Finals, don't discount the Cavs in this thing. There's still a chance that he stays with Cleveland. So if he goes, I think the thing that always makes it so hard is that it's not just a basketball thing with this city. It's a city thing. It's how the businesses in downtown Cleveland get impacted. It's the attention that is brought on the Cavs as an organization. You know, he took a team that was basically broken down to rubble for 4 years when he was in Miami, and he brought them back to prominence, and he made it cool to be a Cavs fan again, and he made it cool to go to Quicken Loans Arena again. And the downtown scene was jumping because you wanted to be in the heart of it all, where LeBron James was playing his basketball. So I think people are going to be more understanding if he goes somewhere else. Like, yeah, I kind of get it. You can't compete against the Warriors. You don't have a lot here from a basketball standpoint. You didn't sign up for this particular team. You lost Kyrie Irving. Okay, I understand where you go, but there's still going to be a segment of fans, and rightfully so, that are really, really hurt and affected by this, because LeBron James, a big part of the Cavs and the big part of Cleveland's economy, is built on him and the kind of draw that he is. And he brings hope to a city that sometimes needs that.
Listen, Chris, you better hope that he stays in Cleveland, because I read a report earlier today that if he leaves, the fans are going to burn jerseys, Chris Fedor jerseys, and that's not going to be good for you, my friend.
It's also not going to be good for the people that read my stories, too. I don't know how many people want to read stories about the team that could be with the Cavs as opposed to LeBron James. So I know what he means for my career, too. Trust me. I think I'm in the position that I'm in part because he decided to come back in 2014, and Cleveland.com wanted to expand their coverage of the Cavs. It makes a lot of sense, right?
Hey, man, thanks for jumping on. We really appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
All right, Chris, thank you. There he goes, Chris Fedor. He had the insight, and basically he had the insight we had. So it was good we brought him on.
We're all guessing.
We're all guessing at this point. Yeah. And I think the smart money still, I don't know where the smart money is anymore.
There isn't. I mean, but you got to say it quickly. There is a foot still in Cleveland, I think, with LeBron. Maybe it might even be just a big toe, like a swollen big toe. It's still maybe in Cleveland because that's home, and there's an element to I don't want to leave home.
I get that. Here. I get that. All right, let's do a couple more BJs here. Mexico in the World Cup. What do you think? Ricardo in Ontario, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a great thing for Mexico because it reminds the U.S. that in 8 years, we're going to be hosting this. It's another good thing because it's not only representing Mexico, it's representing the entire North America. USA fans know deep down that it's a good thing for Mexico to continue. So we can continue this party. It's good for L.A. The people are in a great mood. So just continue this party and keep this run going. Go Mexico.
All right, Ricardo. Appreciate the call. Thanks. Let's go. Juan and Downey, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go.
Gorilla, gorilla. Right now, every Mexican should be bumpy, Gangnam style. Every Mexican should be googly. Where is the best Korean barbecue to go to? Trust me, it's good. Close to carne asada. We got the thank you, Korea. We got it through. We're going through. I'm out.
All right, nice job. That was pretty good.
That was really good.
That'll be tough to beat. Let's see if Joyce and Commerce can do it. Go ahead, Joyce.
Get the game up.
Joyce, you there?
Yep, I'm here. I want Mexico to win because it's long overdue and because L.A. traffic is non-existent in L.A. when they play. I'm out.
Nice job, Joyce.
Ooh, that's a great
That's point. A competitor.
Can we have the World Cup every week and Mexico be in it every week? Life would be great.
You know, back when we had the Olympics in the 80s, everybody was terrified of the traffic. There was nobody on the streets. People were so afraid that the streets would be jammed.
That no one went out.
No one went out. No one ever went out. Hey, Clippers Summer League sweepstakes. What a trip to see the Clippers play during the 2018 NBA Summer League. Could there be anything more exciting than watching the Clippers Summer League team? One fan and a guest. Well, what a trip to Vegas to watch the Clippers play an NBA Summer League game. This is not a regular season game. You'll get to see a Summer League game. Experience includes airfare, hotel, dinner, and we'll throw in game tickets. To enter, visit clippers.com/summerleaguesweepstakes.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
Okay, we'll still get your calls in about Mexico, but now we have to determine fact from fiction and figure out who the smartest person in the room is. And to compete with Kelvin today, we welcome digital content intern Sydney. Sydney, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, Sydney.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, now you got to get fired up, Sydney.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right.
I don't know. I don't think you want this. I don't think you're ready for this, Sydney.
I can be feisty.
All right. We'll see. Let's go.
All right. Here we go. Worker's body found in cooler at Braves Park. A body was discovered Tuesday inside a walk-in beer cooler at the Atlanta Braves SunTrust Park. The man found was a third-party contractor. There was no indication he has ties to the team. Tuesday night's home game between the Braves and the Cincinnati Reds was played as scheduled. They're not going to let a dead body postpone the game. Kelvin, is that real or fake?
That's fake. It's too hot in Atlanta. I don't care if he was in a freezer. It's too hot. He would have been thawed. He would have melted. It's fake.
That's a very good point. He's going fake.
100 there is like 125 degrees. I'm going fake.
Sydney, dead body.
Fake. Definitely fake. That would have been I would have seen that somewhere in all the digital stuff that I do, but yeah. No.
Well, then you better read better.
Oh! What's going on? No, it is real in Atlanta. I need to know what's going on. We're stuffing them. See, that's an inside job, Fred.
Well, of course
it is. How'd you get in there to put them in the freezer in there?
Of course it's an inside job.
What the heck is going on? And by the way, I just realized you guys are cheating because she is a digital content supervisor, intern, or something, manager, and therefore she has seen everything in the world.
Well, you didn't see this.
You did not see that.
All right. Well, let's see if you saw this. Lakers first round pick tweets out frustration following Germany's World Cup loss. Following Germany's knockout of the World Cup, Berlin-born Mo Wagner let out his frustration on Germany with a tweet rampage. One of his tweets said the following: "What a pathetic way to lose a game. Our coach needs to step down." Sydney, from the digital world, is that real or fake?
I want to say real.
You want to say that's real?
I want to say it's real. Germany is really into their soccer.
Okay, so you're saying it's real?
Yeah.
Kelvin?
She's right. I've been to Berlin, and Mo Wagner from Michigan, where I'm from, I know he's a fiery, feisty player. So I'm going to go real as well, and I really hope that I'm right.
Well, I gotta really tell you, you guys are 0 for 2.
It's all fake news. You know it's phony stuff.
Wow. Whatever you do, Sydney, I'm doing the opposite. I'll win that way. That's what I'm doing from here on out, no matter what.
But you're first this time.
I'll just follow you.
Okay, let's go. I'm ready, because I was trying to be polite. That's what it was.
Is that what it is?
Now I'm serious. Right? Okay. It's not a joke now.
All right, now this is not going to sound real. Take that as you will. Diamondbacks pitcher reveals that he pooped in his pants during a game. In an appearance on the Yahoo Sports MLB podcast with Tim Brown, Diamondback reliever Archie Bradley revealed the time he just couldn't hold it before entering a game and how he had his number one turn into a number two. He goes on to say, "It was the most uncomfortable I've ever been on the mound, and I actually had a good inning. I had a clean inning. And I walked into the dugout, and I was like, guys, I just S myself."
Well, it wasn't really a clean inning.
No, that's what I'm saying.
It wasn't that clean of an inning. You know what? I'm gonna go.
That's disgusting.
That is disgusting. But I'm gonna go real.
Sure?
Hasn't that happened to everybody? You had a moment where something went wrong?
No, that has not happened to everybody.
Oh. I mean, oops, did I tell it myself? No, I'm gonna go real. I'm going real.
All right, Sydney.
And I'm really gonna walk out this door if I'm wrong.
Okay.
I wanna say real as well.
You are.
Dedication.
Sydney.
I thought you were gonna go opposite.
No, I told him I was gonna go the same. Okay. He's gonna go opposite.
Okay, well, guess what? You're on the board.
All right. But wait, no, seriously. Jason, that hasn't happened to you?
Just last week, but
okay.
I didn't tell anybody.
I was
gonna
say, Jason, I know you had a drunk night and something went wrong.
That didn't go wrong, Jason, and don't ever admit that again. LeBron has read an advanced copy of Kobe Bryant's book. Kobe Bryant's new book entitled The Mamba Mentality, How I Play, will be released in October. The Cleveland Plain Dealer is reporting that LeBron James has received and read an advanced copy of the book. A source within LeBron's camp says he has given the book a thumbs up. Sydney, did he get the advanced copy of the book and read it? Is it real or fake?
Real.
You're saying it's real?
Yes.
Now, using Kelvin's mentality, he's going to go the opposite, or are you not?
I am. I'm going false, because LeBron is still semi-zero dark 30. It's like zero dark 15 right now. He cut off half of it. He's still, because the only thing we see him is at his son's game. He would not talk about Kobe, because that's tied to Lakers. Then we would make assumptions, so I'm going fake.
You're up one.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
See, now I told you I was going to start taking it seriously. I apologize.
It's okay.
All right. The morning commute was at a standstill on the westbound 10 freeway due to overexcited Mexico fans. Between 8:45 and 9:30 this morning, the westbound 10 freeway in East LA was shut down due to dozens of Mexico fans storming the freeway after South Korea eliminated Germany from the World Cup. People trying to get to work downtown were stuck in their cars for 45 minutes. Kelvin, is that real or fake?
It's fake. It is real that people are stuck in traffic. That's just LA, but I'm going to go fake.
You're going to go fake?
Yeah, I'm going fake.
Sydney?
I'm going to go real. I feel like that's something that could happen right now.
It could happen. Yes. It didn't.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
I mean, they're not going to the... They still got to get to work themselves. Yes, they're excited and they're happy, Sydney, but they got to get to work. See, she's an intern. See, well, that's what it is. When you start getting a little more, you know, you start climbing because I see it in your future, you're not going to jump on the freeway just to miss work. You can't do that.
No, that's why I'm here to learn.
Okay. Stop being nice. See, now she can make me feel bad if I win.
Well, you've already won.
Oh, well, then there you have it.
So you must feel terrible.
I do feel horrible. I do, in fact. But I wanted to beat you, to be honest with you, Fred.
Me?
Yeah, I wanted to beat you.
No, I'm the quiz master.
Okay.
I possess the questions. No,
I wanted to beat you.
All right.
Thank you, Sydney.
Sydney, thanks for coming in.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it.
All right.
It.
You can come back for a rematch one day and check your digitals.
Thank you. I will.
Shout out your school.
UC Riverside.
Shout them out. Hey, what's up, y'all?
Hey, what's up?
Are you the Roadrunners?
No, we're the Highlanders.
The Highlanders. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to the Highlanders and Sydney. Thanks for stopping in.
Appreciate it, Sydney. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's do two more BJs here about Mexico and the World Cup. Let's do it real quick. Chewy in Long Beach. Go ahead.
Are you kidding me? Now, it's football, whatever, soccer. But, yeah, I want Mexico to win. You know why? Because it'll make people happy, and it'll make Mexican women happy. And have you ever seen an angry Mexican woman? I don't know if you want that or not. So, yeah, go Mexico. You look at the Sweden women on TV, they're hot. The Russian chicks, they're hot. The Brazil chicks are, blah. And then you see a Mexican good-looking girl on TV that's hot. You get to say to yourself, I got a chance with her. Go Mexico.
Good Lord. My God, Joey. All right, Ed and Chino Hills, go ahead.
Yeah, Yeah, when the U.S. team plays Mexico at their stadium, they've been known to throw piss on our players. So I say piss on them. I hope they have to play Messi or Ronaldo or Neymar so we can say, adios, muchachos.
All right, well, that was pleasant.
Yo, these, okay, these are getting a little crazy.
Yeah, they are.
These are getting a little, like, to the point where I don't know what to say, you know. But the last one, that was a Troy, I believe, I will say this. There have been a lot of beautiful women shown during these matches.
Yeah.
I mean, for no, they'll just pan and stay on her for 7 seconds and then get back to the game.
Right. Well, there's a reason for that.
There is a reason. It's called casual fans. Stick around. Stick around, casual fan.
Stick around. All right. We'll award BJ's coming up in the next segment. And when we come back, we're going to let you hear from the man the Lakers are pursuing. We'll get your thoughts. It's Fred Rogan and Kelvin Washington on AM 570 LA Sports. Mississippi Queen, if you know what I mean. Mississippi Queen, she taught me everything. All right, Eric in Anaheim, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Red?
Good. Congratulations, my friend. You've won a pair of tickets to the game tomorrow against the Cubs. It's the day game.
Ooh,
can you
awesome,
go?
Awesome.
Are you going to go?
Oh, yeah. I'm
done. All right. Well, these are good tickets.
Doing it.
I mean, come on, man. These aren't cheap. These are the real deal.
I'm going. Right. I'm going to be there.
All right. We're giving out tickets once an hour until 6 right here on the station. You're home for the Dodgers daily ticket giveaway. Dan Patrick every weekday morning at 7:20. And again with Petros and Money every weekday afternoon at 2:20. Eric, thanks for listening.
Awesome. Thank you, Fred.
All right. Take care. Anyway, so last night on ESPN, Kelvin, they had the debut of the Paul George trilogy where they are now chronicling his decision and his life about what he is going to do, which right off the bat, in my opinion, is a terrible idea.
Well, I'll say this. It always helps when you're not the first one. You know, when you're the first one to do something, you generally don't get paid. Like, you're the first DJ who was breaking hip-hop back in the 70s. Now you're broke, yet DJ Khaled's, almost a billionaire or something. So, whenever you're the first, LeBron took the brunt of the decision. We all made fun of him. People hated it. People still hold it over his head. Paul George can maybe slide in the back door where we're okay with it now because of social media and all these other things. We see all these players. But you're right in that I thought LeBron might shoot him a text and say, hey, man, it's a bad idea. We're going to be teammates. Listen
to me. Yeah,
what
are
you doing?
Exactly. And to me, it just said Paul George has waited for his moment, waited for his opportunity to be able to say it's about me now. I'm a star.
He is a forgotten star. I mean, obviously, we're talking about him during free agency, but he's in that tier of guys who can always, their stock can go up or down. And they're great players. We know that. But like a Damian Lillard, where we could not talk about Damian Lillard for a couple of months. Then we will, because he drops 40 points for a few games in a row. Then we won't. Paul George is in that same category of guys where, oh, yeah, and Paul George. We'll forget about him from time. So I think he is enjoying my moment.
It is his moment, and last night he started his moment by saying this.
When it comes to decisions of picking where I want to go, it's the front office that's going to work to give us that best chance to win. I hope I make the majority of the people happy, but ultimately it's my decision, and I want to be the happiest I can be with that decision. And I'm excited. I'm excited to go through this journey.
Okay, he hopes to make the majority of the people happy. I think that begs the question, people where? People in OKC? People in Los Angeles? People that live in his house? How can he make all the people happy?
If we're going majority, then it's got to be LA. More people here, right?
That makes sense.
If we're going that way, practically speaking, no. But I'll tell you what, that is a tough way to live if you're going to go outside of your immediate family. And whatever that means to you, you know, whether it's your parents and your partner, your wife, your kids. But outside of that, it becomes too much of a burden. If you start including everyone. And I think let's use LeBron for an example. Fred, I think LeBron has a savior, mentality where I think that can be a burden that he carries too much. Like, I have to do it for the city. I have to do it for the kids in Akron. I have to do it for all the kids in Northeast Ohio. I got to be this role model. And I can imagine that becomes taxing and tiring. So for Paul, in the same sense that do what's best for Paul and your very small immediate circle. Don't start thinking about the OKC fans and I don't want to make them mad or Russell Westbrook and my LA fan, because then it'll get too tiring, and then you'll make a decision that you'll look up one day and you'll say, was that really what I wanted? Or was I just making everyone else happy?
Well, do you think he'll just go for the money and stay in OKC?
If he does stay in OKC, I don't think it'll just be money. You know, when they restructured this CBA, everyone said, well, no one's going to leave because they're going to want to take the, you know, extra $40, $50 million. And then guys were leaving all over the place. So I don't think they're just looking at money nowadays, because I think they see I can get that on the back end. I'm 27, 28. I'll get another contract. I'll make it up another way. I'll get some more commercials. I think he'll stick around because Russell Westbrook has probably treated him like a brother. And he's like, man, maybe we can get one more crack. So I think it would be that. Of course, money's great, but maybe a bit more than the money.
But if he stays around because Russell Westbrook has treated him that way, he'll never win a title. I don't think Russell Westbrook ever wins an NBA title. I don't think he can win a title.
I'm not on the bash Westbrook. Like, I'd rather have a guy who tries hard than a guy like we've seen with Harden where he fades. Like, I think if you give exact same circumstance that we had with the Rockets last year and even Chris Paul out, Russell Westbrook wins one of those games because he just goes bonkers and he has one of those 45, 15, and 10 games.
Yeah, but if he does that, that might mean the other guys have games of 6 points, mm-hmm. You know, 4 rebounds. The problem is he is so ball-centric. Okay. It really is. And I'm not ripping him. I'm just saying history has shown
true,
that.
True, but let me throw this at you. So is someone else that we're saying doesn't Paul want to come play with. LeBron James.
That's a little different ballgame, don't you think?
It is, but we see what happens from time to time. I mean, I'm his biggest fan, but LeBron is ball-centric. Yeah, it needs to come through me. And he's had more success with it, for sure.
Well, he's had incredibly more success than Russell Westbrook.
But if you're going to play, that's like a big drop-off. Russell Westbrook and then Paul George. Okay, there's a drop, but there's not a huge drop. LeBron, the spectacle that comes with it. He's now a Laker, one of the biggest sport franchises in all the world. Oh, yeah, and Paul George.
Okay, so you know what we'll do? We'll let you make a decision. Right, you get to be the GM, and I'm going to put these people, and they're available to you. You can make one choice. You can have Paul George and Russell Westbrook. Those are going to be your two guys. Or you can take LeBron and whoever he brings with him. So those are your choices. You either get Paul George and Russell Westbrook. That's your team. Those are your guys, and they can add one more. Or LeBron, and he can bring two guys with him. Who are you going to pick?
That's funny you would ask. I'm going to go with LeBron because I feel like no matter who I have a shot at getting to the finals.
Right.
Right. But I now that you said it from a basketball standpoint, GM, but I bet you the fans, LA fans, would say Paul George and Russ or something. There's a we don't want an aging LeBron thing that people are saying. And I don't know if it's just because they're Kobe fans and they don't really want to, you know, they don't want LeBron or acknowledge him. But a lot of Laker fans are, we don't want LeBron. I see it all on Twitter. I see it on Instagram. I hear the calls. People, we don't want LeBron. It's going to take away from our core, our young guys. Man, please. We're trying to win.
That's exactly right.
And this whole acting as if LeBron only has a year left in the tank. The same Laker fans were Laker fans when Kareem was here playing until he was 57. I mean, Kareem just retired 8 years ago.
The thing about Westbrook, and your point is, you know, maybe I'd rather have Russell Westbrook and Paul George. Here's the thing. Yeah, during the regular season, you might. Mm. Because during the regular season, Russell Westbrook is a spectacle. He is fun to watch. But the difference is the mounting frustration that would occur when you get into the playoffs, and all of a sudden, now you're coming up short. So no matter how good it was during the regular season, and you got to sell tickets to 41 games, and you got to sell playoff tickets, once they're eliminated, I think people would get very frustrated with that.
But and that's why I found it so interesting when and really humorous when I hear a lot of Laker fans say, we just don't want LeBron because he's going to take away from this, or he's going to be, you know, why have LeBron and still not win it all? And everyone keeps saying that. I'm like, well, you got a real shot with him, don't you? Much better shot than you had the last 5 years.
You're immediately a contender. You're immediately in the conversation. Ask the people in Cleveland. They'll let you know what LeBron James means. All right, who wins BJ's today?
Fred, we tried to tap into the Latino population, right?
Is that what we did?
Juan and Downey was excited about the Mexico win.
Corilla, Corilla. Right now, every Mexican should be bumpy, Gangnam style. Every Mexican should be googly. Where is the best Korean barbecue to go to? Trust me, it's good. Close to carne asada. We got to thank you, Korea. We got it through. We're going through. I'm out.
Way to go, Juan. You want a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse on Wednesdays. $10 loaded burgers, unlimited fries, $4 BJ signature handcrafted beers. When we come back, sad day for many fans in L.A. Many tears were shed. We'll explain. Calvin Washington in for Rodney today, along with Fred Rogan on AM 570 LA Sports.
Let's get lost tonight.
Fred Rogan and Kelvin Washington in today for Rodney and AM 570 LA Sports. Well, there was a moment of silence. It happened yesterday afternoon with the tragic news that the Clippers had traded Austin Rivers to Washington.
Soon as Doc Rivers is no longer running basketball operations, the Suns got to go. You see what happened there, right? When he was running things, Austin was around. Austin was part of the team. Austin was starting to thrive a little bit. And now this first summer that he's not, get out.
Look, when they acquired Austin Rivers, first, it was the worst possible thing that could have happened, that he was going to play for his dad in the NBA. Then it was the best possible thing that could have happened because dad gave him a lot of money.
And chances.
Yeah. Then it was the worst possible thing that happened because people became disenchanted with him because he was the son of the coach who paid him a lot of money. Yep.
The nepotism. We like it when we want it, but when we don't, we use that as an excuse. What's interesting, though, Fred, is now that they have Gortat, who can play the center or the four, depending on how they choose to do it, many speculating, okay, this is the end for DeAndre, whether it's this summer, whether it's later in the year, once the season starts, they trade him. And then to me, it starts with the conversation of, Fred, how do you grade the Lob City era, the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, which will no longer be once DeAndre's gone? Was that a success, a failure? Was it good? Was it bad? Was it decent? Where do you rank it?
It was interesting, but a failure. And it was a failure because they should have won. It was interesting. It was exciting. I'll use those two words. But when it comes down to, okay, let's look at it in Clipper history, what's the difference between those teams and the teams that Donald Sterling had 25 years ago? Nothing. They still didn't win. And I would argue, Kelvin, that it's even more frustrating because they should have won.
Okay, let me argue with that. I would argue that it's a win, even in the sense that we expected them to win. We've never expected the Clippers to win. So I would say for the last 4 or 5 years, you expected them to succeed. You expected them to win and have a shot at maybe making the finals. That's a compliment in and of itself in that they finally were able to put together a team that you had an expectation for, because generally you didn't. And the team also had a name, like Lob City, which I think was stupid of them to get rid of that. Like, we're past that. But no, embrace it. Run with it. Like, it's a part of your identity. You have an identity.
But you remember when they got rid of it, when Doc Rivers took over. He said, we're not doing that anymore.
And then he laid out the huge, massive the banners of Spencer Hawes. Okay. Remember the Spencer Hawes banner?
Hey, Spencer Hawes, the greatest free agent signing the Clippers ever made. I said that.
That pretty much is doom right there.
Yeah, that.
They covered up all the Laker banners. You covered up a Laker banner to put Spencer Hawes up there? That's what we're doing? Matt Barnes? Matt Barnes is what we're covering up Kareem's jersey for?
Yeah, but to be fair, the Clippers pay rent. That's their home as well. And there's something wrong with, in your own home that you pay rent for, you've got banners from the other team. In Boston, they wouldn't hang Laker banners in there because that's Boston's home. So here, the Clippers did pay, and I know Laker fans were very upset with that. I actually understood that.
It made sense, and it also made sense because you got to cover up some of those 300-level seats that weren't occupied.
No.
You could just hang the banner down. Hey, drop Spencer 5 more feet, please, and cover up those 3 rows that are empty.
No, you wouldn't do that because those seats sold for like $4 each because nobody would buy them.
Cover it up. Just cut a little hole. They can see it. Cut a little hole in Spencer Hawes' banner. They'll see the game.
Yeah, to me, that was a very frustrating era for the Clippers, and I understand what you're saying.
I think we'll go back, though, Fred. I think we'll go back and we'll be much friendlier to that era, because we'll say that era was fun. It was exciting. We even had expectations. They were always a sexy darling to make the finals, and I think we'll embrace it. Because if you look back, there's other teams throughout history that didn't succeed, but we think fondly of. Remember that Run TMC up in the Bay?
Okay.
When you had Tim Hardaway, Chris Mullin, and Mitch Richmond, and they were fun. Everybody, oh, man, that was a fun team. They didn't even make it out of the first round ever. But we think fondly, we remember that team, you know, and the Sonics, when they had Gary Payton and Sean Kemp and all that, they made it to a finals, but that was it. They never went back. And so I think we'll get away from it. We'll get removed and we'll say, man, that team was pretty good and pretty fun.
It was fun to watch when Vinny Del Negro was the coach. That was a fun team to watch.
I know he's got to be like, I got fired for this. They're doing the same thing we were doing.
That's right. I mean, they're no better than we were.
Right.
And I got fired. Well, you know why he got fired? Because that was the only way Chris Paul was coming.
Mm.
Because Chris Paul was a free agent. And Chris Paul said, look, I want Doc Rivers. And they said, okay. And the way the Clippers used to operate, there was a clause in Doc Rivers' contract in Boston. And the Clippers were not, and basically what Doc said is, I'll just take the same deal. Whatever I have in Boston, I'll take the same deal. And the Clippers front office decided, there's this one clause, and I don't want to say it because it's kind of tacky, but it was an add-in, you know. And you get this too. And he goes, I want the same deal. And they said, no, we're not doing that. We'll do everything but that. So he called Chris Paul and he said, they won't give me that. And Chris Paul drove down to the Clipper offices, walked in and told Andy Roser, look, if you don't get this done immediately, I'm not staying here. I'm gone. You do it right now. I'm not even fooling around with this anymore. Do it or I'm out. Vinny Del Negro was gone. Doc was here and Chris signed. That's what happened to Vinny Del Negro.
And then it was like 3-4 years of the same.
Yeah.
3-4 years of the same thing.
Well, you always knew at the end of a game. I mean, I could be sitting in my office in Burbank watching a monitor, and they were playing in Boston. And I said, watch, 10 seconds left. They're down by one. Let me call the play. They're going to inbound the ball to Chris Paul. He's going to go right. He's going to cut at the elbow. If he can drive, he's going to drive. If he can't, he's going to pull up and shoot. You watch, 10 seconds. Throw the ball into Chris, goes right, elbow, cuts to the basket. Of course, you know, rejected, four guys smash the ball in his face. Because I could call the play in Burbank. Yeah. I knew what they were going to do.
I tell you what, that team, it also was a big, I guess you could say, mark on Blake. Because we always talk about CP3, which is why, by the way, this hamstring injury that he had really, really, really was detrimental to him. Because this was his chance to get to the finals. And to kind of get that black mark that he never made it, you know, to the Western Conference Finals. Okay, he finally did that. He never made it to the finals. He could have killed two birds with one stone with a good hamstring. Because he would have been able to get that monkey off his back. But I think the same thing with Blake Griffin. And now it's funny because now Blake's in Detroit. And we may never really hear from Blake Griffin again.
We won't. I agree with you. We won't.
I don't appreciate the way you said it because he's in Detroit. You know, I'm from Michigan now.
And I was born in Detroit.
Come on.
I understand.
You put a little too much. It was too much certainty in the way you said it. Yeah. Way too definitive. I didn't like that.
Because I think it is pretty definitive for two reasons.
You're not going to lie. I went back to a game there. I mean, it was bad. They were playing the Spurs, and I was talking to Danny Green, and I spent like $50. That's how close I was. $50 for a seat. I'm talking to Danny Green right there. I'm right there on the bench. Like, this is bad.
Yeah. Well, the city, you know, Detroit, which was, when I was young, so many years ago, a thriving city in America, has fallen on such tough times and has been for so many years. They're trying to rebuild downtown now. But, boy, it's nothing like it used to be. And I'll tell you what. They wouldn't even put a major league franchise in that city now if they didn't have one.
That's tough to hear.
But don't you agree?
I was just back a week before Mother's Day. It's coming back. I'll say it is coming back. It's thriving, and it was the first time I went back in the 7 years I've been in L.A. that I didn't know where I was because they've done so much.
And that's great because it was such an incredible city for so many years, and then the auto industry went south, and the racial unrest of the 60s, and boy, it just really fell on hard times.
Well, we turned this into CNN or something, didn't we? Yeah, got all serious over here.
We're good.
Documentary.
We're good. All right, when we come back.
In a city.
When we come back.
That's thriving.
Yasiel Puig, you love him, you hate him. Last night you didn't love him. We'll get into that. Fred Rogan and Kelvin Washington on AM 570 LA Sports.
Dodgers, the whole segment?
Well, you know, I wanted to get back to LeBron, but what do you think?
I mean, if it's...
And then, because after that is then...
We're done.
Yeah, because there's the game.
Yeah, and then we're out. Crosstalk.
Crosstalk, yeah. So yeah, just, maybe...
You know what? Let's do Queen. Let's just do Queen.
Yep.
And do your take on that. Okay. That's really good.
Okay.
About how, with the magazine and everything. We'll see how that goes.
Okay. If it's hot, we'll keep rolling. If it's not, we'll got the LeBron right in the back pocket.
Come on, Alex. Kelvin Washington in today for Rodney on AM 570 LA Sports. Last night, the Dodgers lose to the Cubs. Yasiel Puig was front and center. Made a mistake in right field. Now, we haven't seen one of those in a while. Misplayed a ball and it opened the floodgates, Kelvin. Chicago just went on to blister the Dodgers. Then there was a play later in the game where Javi Baez picked up the ball along the third baseline for the Cubs and just rifled just a bullet to first and doubled Puig up. It was not a good night for Yasiel Puig.
No, but I'll tell you what, that was a great play from Baez. He is a human highlight film. I mean, a baseball version of it. I mean, whatever you want. You want offense, you want defense, grand slam for, you know, last night as well. But going back to Puig, okay, here's the thing. Everybody has that friend. I don't care who you are. You have that friend that drives you crazy, that does dumb things, that gets you kicked out of a bar, whatever it is every now and again. But you know that they're loyal. You know if you needed a shirt, they gave it to you right off their back. And it's that balance of they're a little crazy. They drive me crazy. They're a little nuts. But that's my friend. And they're good to me. I feel like that's Yasiel Puig with the Dodgers. Like, they're kind of, you have to take the good and the bad. But it's been a lot of good lately.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you think about it, so he's going to be in the ESPN, the mag, the body issue, 10-year sure. anniversary. He said, I finally did it. They've been asking me for 4 years. And if you think about this, I was reading a great article earlier, the thought that Yasiel Puig 2 years ago, if he comes in and he's all in the magazine and he's putting pictures all over Instagram, those guys would roll their eyes at him. They'd say, this is why you're not good at baseball. This is why you make all those blunders. You don't focus. You're not all about the game. And they probably wouldn't, you know, it's like Forrest Gump. Seats taken. You can't sit over here. But because he's been playing hard, he's been playing better, he had a really good year towards the end of the year last year, and I think he's even progressed as a human being, as a man. He comes in, now they got him hanging all around the dugout, they're having a great time with him in the clubhouse, and they're able to have fun with him because I think he's earned that over the last year and a half.
Yeah, and see, the difference is he has a body of work now to support doing outside things, and it appears that he respects the game. So now he is a star, or certainly somebody in Los Angeles that is looked up to and has a huge fan base, that you believe, okay, more often than not, the guy's going to show up, play well, do what he's supposed to do, so we can really embrace him and wrap our arms around him. And it's the point I make about Lonzo Ball. And before you start diss tracks and reality shows and all of these things, you got to take care of your business. Your business is basketball in this situation. And if you embrace it and people see you embracing it, they're going to be far more forgiving when you do other things. They're going to think that's great. It's a function of what you've done in your profession. I think he's doing it backwards. Yasiel Puig has now done it the right way.
Yasiel Puig has focused. He's grown as a person. And obviously we've seen the success on the field as well. And I also think that one thing I've always mentioned when it comes to him, we didn't give him enough time. If you think about it, we all seen and read the stories of where he came from.
Right.
If you think about that, now you're here and I'm throwing $8 million at you, there is a time to adjust. And I don't just mean on the diamond. I'm talking about in your personal life. I'm talking about your maturity level. And so we talked about this earlier with Julius Randle and how these one-and-done guys, how it takes time for them to mature. I do think there was an element of that with Yasiel Puig. He looks like a grown, strapping man. But relatively speaking, he was young and immature. And I think there was a time period that he needed to understand that and then grow that maybe we weren't allowing it at a certain point.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. If you're sitting back and everybody works and everybody makes a living, and I believe everybody is underpaid. Mm-hmm. I think everybody should be paid more. I don't care what your job is.
You heard that, Jason?
Everybody should get paid more.
Fred's never said that to me, but I think everybody other
everybody
than
but
me.
You.
Yeah. I've made that statement. But when you look at a guy making $8 million a year and, you know, you're driving a FedEx truck and you're busting your ass and you're trying to support your family and you see guys making millions of dollars, it doesn't matter how old they are, that doesn't really equate in your mind.
That's fair. That's fair.
You can only look at it from the perspective, you know, I'm killing myself here, and this guy's making all that money, and he's not performing.
God didn't bless you to be 6'1" or two, or whatever he is, and 240, and looks like he can run a 4.3 while lifting up a truck. Okay, God didn't bless you with that. Sir FedEx driver, whoever you're talking about, all right? Mr. Insurance Man, God didn't bless you with that, and therefore you're not in a sport that makes, you know, rakes in all the dough. Otherwise, you would be making some money. So let's keep that in perspective. But as far as – so, again, going back to even the game last night, I think these are things, the mistakes you're willing to make when you know that he's going and approaching the game the right way.
I agree.
And Dave Roberts even talked about how, you know, he's making adjustments in his at-bats, and he's not getting as frustrated. He's not as predictable for opposing pitchers. Like, oh, this is him right now. He's mad at himself, so I know he's going to reach some more. He's gonna really, you know, get out of his element because he's had a couple of bad at-bats. Now he's being smarter. So I think there's a growth. And he's also achieved something that's rare in baseball.
What's that?
Be pretty good, not great, not a superstar, yet you're pretty well known. That doesn't happen, and that happens in the NBA. Like, Nick Young is the most – he's okay, but he's known everywhere. Everyone knows Matt Barnes and these guys. Yasiel Puig's been one of the rare people that – you know, of course, he's been an all-star. I'm not making as if he's a scrub, but, I mean, he's not Mike Trout, Bryce Harper guy, and yet he seems to be universally known. That's a rare feat for a guy who's kind of above middling talent.
Well, because he is a real-life action hero.
He is.
He looks that way.
Oh, he'll be an expendable. He'll be an Expendables 52. He'll be in the Expendable. What are they on now? 39 or something? He'll be in one of them. That's for sure.
Let's go to San Diego. Daniel, what do you want to talk about? It says you want to talk about something. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Rogan, hi. Excuse me if I speak a little slow. I had a stroke in February.
Well, we're glad you're okay.
That is true.
Well, I had a stroke at my daughter's funeral. Let me say something about the Lakers. Over the years, I've been a Laker fan since I was 5, 6 years old, way back. We have built our teams over the years through the draft, through going ahead and building our teams. Yes, we went ahead and made trades. Yes, we got Shaq and this and that. But for us to go ahead and want to go ahead and cry out, oh, we need LeBron, we need Kawhi Leonard, we need this and that. It's, to me, it makes me want to throw up, because the real Laker fans from back in the day when I watched the Lakers on black and white TV, it just makes me want to throw up. Magic, don't you cop out. Don't you bow to anybody. We don't need this. Let's build our foundation. What's the best thing in your house? It's the foundation of your house. Let's go back to what we used to do, and let's go ahead and, you know, we'll be fine.
Right. And Daniel, and I appreciate that. Thank you for the call. I see what you're saying. Here, you know what? Not only does Daniel feel that way, Kelvin, here's Lee in West L.A. Go ahead, Lee.
Well, first of all, I know Daniel from another station. I'm my sympathy to your family, sir. I know you I've been calling since 91, so I know Daniel from another station. This is what you do. I hate the Lakers. I love Magic. I hate the Lakers. This is what you do. You go get balling out of control. Balling out of control is Michael Thompson's son. What's his name? Clay?
Clay Thompson.
Tightwad Genie Bus. Come out the pocket, Genie Bus. Go to Milwaukee. Get number 34. You know, he's supposed to be from Greece. His name is Swahili. How do you have a Swahili name and you from Greece? You got to offer him $75 million. You got a world championship.
This is just a stream of consciousness.
The big three. Three. You already got Cal Kuzma.
Shut up. Go ahead, Lee. I couldn't hear you. What? Finish.
Okay, you already got the big three. Cal Kuzma, you already got him. Swahili brother in Milwaukee.
Shut up. Go ahead, Lee. Finish. Just go ahead. Finish your thought. I don't know what's going on.
I don't either.
All right. Thanks, Lee. Appreciate it. Lee, no, that was
good. I like that it's Kuzman, too. Not Kyle Kuzma, Kuzman.
Yeah, Kuzman.
You got Kuzman.
Lee, the deal is this. We're not playing fantasy basketball. We're not just sitting around and, you know, picking players, Lee. You can't just go get the Greek guy with the Swahili name and go get the Clay Dog or whatever you called him. You just can't go out and do that. It doesn't work that way.
And why can't his daddy be African? Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, just because he's in Greece, I believe his father is African, hence the Swahili name.
Right. Well, you take it up with Lee.
Yeah, I did. Well, I will hope Lee's listening. He even listens since 91.
I heard listening. That. Lee knows everybody.
He does know everybody. And I told you, Laker. Well, he said he wanted fame, but a lot of Laker fans don't want LeBron. I told you.
No, I know that.
It's. I think they're kidding themselves. And also, I'll say this quickly: we put too much stock into the youth. Yes, I think if I happen to have two transcendent players in a Klay Thompson, arguably going to be one of the greatest shooters of all time, Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time, and two-time MVP. Yeah, I'm going to ride that ship out. And you know, and then you also draft a Draymond, one of the most, you know, Swiss Army Knights of all time. But who's to say Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma and Ball are that? So the idea of just simply riding with the youth forever, yeah, you cherry pick. Okay, I'll keep those two, and these two can go. It doesn't have to simply be just because they're young and they look like they're okay. You have to ride that.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, you make an incredibly valid point, and that's
the
mistake.
You could just tell my wife to say that.
Yeah, well, okay.
Viva Mexico, Viva Mexico, El Tri has moved into the final 16 despite the loss to Sweden. Mexican fans were chanting, Korea, Korea, the green, red, and white going gaga as Korea stunned Germany, ousting Alemania. So is Mexico, Brazil in the World Cup, La Vida Loca, Sweet 16 on Monday, y'all. As Brazil sambled Serbia 2-0, El Tri moves on. South Korea, muchas gracias. Adiosing Germany, mass matches. Costa Rica, Switzerland 2-2. The Swiss also move on. And move on we do to stop number 3 on the Petros & Money Chevy Summit Tour, July the 6th. Golden Road Brewing in Anaheim, right across from the Big A, brought to you by Supercuts. Up your game with a fresh haircut from Supercuts. Check in online at supercuts.com.
Goal!
Goal! Goal!
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
Once again, Adam is in for Kevin this week. Adam, you're doing a great job.
Thank you, Fred. Not as good as Lee did, saying that the Lakers could get Giannis Antetokounmpo for a mere $75 million, I think.
Yeah,
it's that easy. Hashtag future Lakers.
Hashtag.
All right, guys, let's start with this. Good call, bad call on this QB rating. The NFL Network released their countdown of top 100 players, which is a list compiled from both votes from current ballers around the league. One of those players, though, wasn't happy seeing Jimmy Garoppolo voted as the 90th best player in the NFL. The outspoken corner for the Jaguars, Jalen Ramsey, said, quote, "Not yet, not yet. What he play? 5 games?" Now, that's accurate. But Jimmy G went 5-0 in those games for the Niners this year. So, Fred, good call, bad call on Jimmy Garoppolo already being a top 100 player in the NFL.
Wait a minute. He's complaining that Garoppolo is a top 100 player?
That's right.
I thought he was complaining that Garoppolo was not a top 15 player. He's actually complaining that the guy's a top 90 player?
And by the way, Jalen Ramsey was ranked 17th.
You know something? Bad call. Bad call. Here's why. Jimmy Garoppolo will be one of the best players in the National Football League. He was 5-0 with the 49ers. By his mere presence, he has turned the entire franchise around. He has the ability to lead them to a Super Bowl one day. Bad call.
Kelvin, good call, bad call on Jimmy G already being a top 100 player.
I'm going to say it's a good call from Jalen Ramsey's perspective. I'll tell you why. I like it. I like a little beef. I like a little feud. And hopefully they play each other in the next year or two so we can see those two go at it. So from that end, I like it. But you were right, Fred, in that. Look, the fact of the matter is Jimmy G automatically makes the 49ers better. And he's had success there and in the few games he played with the Patriots. But I like Jalen Ramsey going at him. I like that.
VTB, Jimmy G is 7-0 total in the NFL now. Good call, bad call on the top 100 list.
Bad call by a nice and bitter Jalen Ramsey. I understand he wants him to put his time in, get some more wins into 7 wins, but, you know, instant impact, you know, from Jimmy G, you know, turning around the franchise. It was floundering, one of the worst franchises in the league the last few years. Suddenly there's hope in San Francisco. There's hope in San Francisco.
Jalen Ramsey has now taken over as the biggest smack talker since Steve Smith Sr. has retired, so it's a good thing. I'm with it. Sticking with the NFL, good call, bad call on signing a running back to a big contract. Le'Veon Bell of the Pittsburgh Steelers says he and the team are a lot closer to coming to an agreement on a long-term deal. Bell had 1,900 yards from scrimmage and 11 touchdowns last year. He's been franchise tagged for $14 million this season, but wants a longer deal that pays him $17 million annually. He's 26 years of age, so good call, bad call, Kelvin, on the Steelers giving him the big payday so they don't have to risk him holding out this year.
I think it's a good call because he's not just a running back. He's such a large portion of their offense. I mean, from receiving the ball, from blocking, and even throws the ball at times. So I think it's a great thing. Look, we play all these defensive players, and they really don't get you to and win you games as much as these offensive players nowadays, especially the way the rules are. Good call. Pay the man.
Fred, good call, bad call on paying Le'Veon Bell long term.
For Le'Veon Bell, it's an incredible call. For the Steelers, it's a bad call. I mean, I want everybody to get paid. I said that a couple of minutes ago. And I believe that. Except Jason. Yeah, I know Jason, you too. But to invest money in a running back long-term for so many years is a prescription for disaster, just given their longevity and their risk of injury. Now, it's great for Le'Veon, but I don't know if it's good for the Steelers.
Vic, Le'Veon's been busted for the sicky icky before. You down with him getting paid?
Totally. Good call. Especially since the Pittsburgh Steelers are notoriously cheap, a great organization, but the Rooney family, you know, not known, you know, for paying their studs. I'm just sick and tired of running backs not getting the respect. They grind it down so this prolific passing offenses of the NFL can do their thing. But you need a running attack. You got to grind. It opens up the passing game. Le'Veon Bell's just an incredible running back. Hey, Le'Veon Bell, ring that bell. Ring that gong.
Fred says pay everyone except the aging running back. I can get with that.
I dig the running back.
On to the Major League Baseball. Good call, bad call on acquiring this pitcher. Last night for the Reds, Matt Harvey went a season-high 6 2/3 innings in a 5-3 victory over the Braves. Over his 9 starts for Cincy now, Harvey is 3-3 with a 4.31 ERA. The Reds are last, though, in the NL Central at just 33-46, so they are expected to trade Harvey and his expiring contract before the non-waiver trade deadline on July 31st. Fred, with his attitude and his baggage, good call or bad call on a contender picking up pitcher Matt Harvey?
I guess it's a good call. You know, if he can help you down the stretch and you're not going to have him for long and you believe he can make a difference, it can't hurt. I don't think his attitude could permeate into the clubhouse in a month and a half. So I think if you believe he can help, it's a good call. But his ERA is over 4. He's 3-3. Is that the guy you're going to bring in to be your stopper? I don't think so.
So bad call or?
Yeah. On second thought, bad call.
Kelvin, good call, bad call on acquiring Matt Harvey.
I'm gonna stay with the good call because we've seen over the last few years, whether it's Aroldis Chapman, whether it's Lester. I mean, we've seen when you get that one guy that pushes you over there, Verlander, exactly. Yeah, most recently, where they can push you over the edge. He's not them talent wise right now, but if he can be, you know, half of that and it doesn't cost you much, it's a good move.
Vic, are you good call, bad call on the Dark Knight?
Good call with the Dark Knight, man. Pitching wins championships. Harvey will not be your ace, but he'll get you a playoff win. I mean, he's a madman, you know, in the cafes, but he will get you wins in the postseason. And the Reds, you know, they're no chopped liver more than Menudo. I mean, they've swept the Dodgers, they've swept the Cubs, and Harvey's pitched solid. I would pick up Harvey in a second.
Finally here, good call, bad call on this reversal of NBA offseason events. The Houston Rockets offered a proposal to the league that they change the start of free agency to taking place a week or more before the NBA draft. So, Kelvin, good call, bad call on teams having a better idea of what their draft needs are by pushing it back till after the start of free agency.
That's a good call and really an obvious call. It only makes sense. Allow them to get guys who are actually going to make a much bigger difference. Rarely does a rookie make a difference immediately, such, you know, right off the bat. So let me get my free agent that can truly help my team, and then I'll figure out the young guy that I need.
Fred, good call, bad call on this.
I think it's a great call if they were to do it. And you're right, Kelvin. It makes complete and total sense. it's backwards.
Right.
You want to get your team figured out and what you're going to do, and then you'll make decisions on the draft. So, yeah, they should definitely change it. No question about it.
VTB, same question to you.
It's a good call, and Adam Silver, the most progressive, the most wisdom of any commissioner in sports today, should definitely digest this dynamic and go with this concept. You know, Adam Silver always working the league's rules, trying to make it better. So I believe it's a tremendous call.
And I believe Adam Silver just got a contract extension a little bit earlier there.
He's brilliant.
I'll guess that was a Woj bomb. All right, guys. That was a good call, bad call.
Adam, nice job.
Double A.
Good job.
Vic, good job.
Come on, you guys. Feeling you.
And I know Petros is in the building because he came in and said hello with Don McLean. But are they going to come in and visit us? That's the big question, Kelvin. We'll find out next. Fred Rogan, Kelvin Washington on AM 570 LA Sports. Yeah, those are the kinds of listeners we have. Those are the kind of people that are with us every single day. And don't think we don't appreciate it, because we really do. Cipriano in San Gabriel, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Yeah, I'm doing very good.
Okay, that's good. anyway, you've won a pair of can you go to the Dodger game tomorrow?
Actually, I can't, but I'm going to give them away if I can get them.
All right, well, good news. You're getting them. Turn down your radio.
Yeah.
You win.
All righty. Sounds great.
Congratulations. Yeah. Yep, and we're giving out tickets once an hour from 6 or until 6 right here on the station. You're only home for the Dodgers Daily Ticket Giveaway with Dan Patrick every weekday morning at 7:20, and again with Petros and Money every weekday afternoon at 2:20. Cipriano, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, man. Thanks.
All right, take care. Kelvin, interesting. This just broke about 15 minutes ago. And we thought it was a done deal for Ohtani. He'd have to have Tommy John. But the general manager of the Angels says, hold on. We think he'll come back and be the DH this year.
Well, I mean, that's what I was just talking. We were talking to Jason about it. So I guess we got to show some love to Vic the Brick, because he predicted this. So shout out to Vic. But this is how special he is, where normally we would say, okay, this guy's going to go down for Tommy John. We'll see him in a year, year and a half. He's out of it. But he's that special that you want to bring him back as a DH, and you want to have him continue to hit and hit so successfully as he's done all season. So I think it's a remarkable story. Really, I think he really has been the biggest story in baseball outside of maybe the success that the Yankees are having with Judge and Stanton over there. But I think this is big for them. I think it's big even when you talk about, I mean, they're behind right now. They're fourth place in the division. But if you can really have some success and you start to look further ahead, you're talking about 2020 with Mike Trout, just to have some success for him, that you don't keep wasting these seasons with Mike Trout. And part of having success, of course, is scoring runs. And Ohtani will be able to help you with that.
Yeah, he's getting the PRP injection, and they're saying, okay, he could be able to come back and hit. Obviously, we don't want him to pitch. But that really leads to this. Are you prolonging the inevitable? You know, when do you want to take your medicine? He's supposed to pitch. And if he can't, what are you doing?
Well, I think they're banking on that there have been other examples of guys who've been able to pull through and not have Tommy John surgery. Now, that ends up being the majority of them in similar instances. But there have been examples where you didn't have to have it. So maybe they're hoping for that they can have him come back, hit, and find a way for it to heal and not have to have the surgery.
Well, you hope for the best, but you do hope for the best. You know, they may be delaying the inevitable here.
You're right, Fred.
Hello, P.
Hello.
What's up, Pete?
One of these works.
Hi, Don.
Is it working?
Check.
We hear you.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, we got you.
What's going on, boys?
Fellas?
What's happening?
Are we grab-assing or talking sports, Fred? We've had one day of each.
Don, what's going on, grab Fred? Ass. It's much better that way.
How's it going, Fred?
Good. You know, you've been on every day. We haven't seen you because you've been out at the stadium.
Yeah, it's fun out there.
Is it?
I like doing shows out there.
You guys sound good, man, but you're wrong.
What am I wrong about?
You got to get that Tommy John. Who? You're right, Fred.
Who?
Let's talk Ohtani, Tommy John all day. We do whenever somebody gets Tommy John, though.
Yeah.
It seems like really stupid and cliche, but we put Tommy John on.
Of course you do.
And it's never not fascinating. Like, it's always, he's awesome to talk to.
Here's my question about that. How's there not been a newer Tommy John? Like, why is Tommy John the only surgery?
Because it's called Tom.
I'm saying, you would think after 30-something years of Tommy John surgery, somebody would come up with a, I don't know, oral Hershiser surgery. Yeah.
Let's be fair. I mean, I don't want to bring up some debilitating disease, but, you know, there's a lot of them, and, you know. You know, there's only one Parkinson's, you know. I mean, we don't, you know, is there a new guy? Let's call it, you know, Muhammad Ali disease.
Saying about the injury. I'm saying, like, hasn't there been a, I'm surprised there hasn't been a new way of fixing something and attributing it to another player is what I'm saying.
It's not saying change Lou Gehrig.
Right. I thought you were saying, like, change the name of Tommy John. Let's call it Corey Seager surgery now because Seager's a Dodger, you know, like Freedom Fries, you know. It's like, we can't just change the name.
I'm saying a new way of doing or accomplishing that surgery.
The grave of that great doctor. Was it Job? Who is it? Job did it, right? Job did the
original. Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, yeah. Frank
Job.
Frank Job, yeah. Great doctor.
May he rest in peace.
One of the great doctors.
Yeah.
By now, though, I'm with you, Don. So something would have happened.
Well, you guys are talking about like a Han Solo elbow or like a Luke Skywalker in the fake. I mean, what kind of. I mean, you guys are like Blade Runner over here.
Robot?
I mean, who here is a doctor? Who here has done any kind of medical research or innovation? Fred, nope. That doesn't count, Fred. Fred, I know what you're talking about.
He stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. Fred stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. That's about it.
Well, he is in the midst of a move. Fred, come on. Who hears it? None of us know.
None of us know. No.
None of us know. The best thing medicine can do, which is what Tommy John is take something from somewhere and put it somewhere else, which is exactly why they call Hugh Jackson booty skin, because he has a skin graft on his head.
From his butt?
From his ass.
Really?
Is this from the Wolverine movies or something?
No, it's from the real Hugh Jackson, not Hugh Jackman.
Oh, Hugh Jackson. I thought you
were talking about
Jackman.
Hey, this is a sports show. I mean, come on. The comic book show's down the hall. You know, if you guys want to talk Comic-Con, you know, we can do that. But Hugh Jackson.
Yes.
Booty skin.
Why did he have to have that?
I don't know. Some kind of thing on his head.
I'm trying to figure out why. What is so great about the booty skin that they couldn't take it? Why isn't he thigh skin?
You know, I think a lot of people go straight ass skin for most things. You know, I really do.
Because it's so
I've
much
never
of
heard
it.
Of this.
I think
there's
you know,
a lot
there's
of
so
it.
Much of yeah, and who, you know, I mean, if somebody has a scar on their behind, the first thing somebody thinks is not like, oh, that must be from, you know, that must be
well,
somewhere
no
else
one sees
body,
it.
You know?
Well, Kim K is straight for. She's good for a long time. Mm-hmm. She can get injured anywhere. She'll have all the skin she needs.
Her behind does not look proportionate.
No, it's ant. It's an ant. Think of an ant. It's an ant.
Oh, an ant.
Yeah, it's an ant.
That's nice.
It is.
I've heard the other way.
I don't
follow. Snoopy.
Oh, an ant. Oh, okay.
You get it?
I got you.
Like a bulbous bug.
No, it doesn't look right.
I understand.
Too much money for it not to look right.
Yeah, it must be hard to stand.
Fred, why the streamers in here?
Oh, this is from Red Stripe 3 weeks ago.
Petros.
Oh.
Hooray Beer. Big sponsor. The Red Stripe guy came in and we were like, you know what's going to make that guy give us money? You know what's going to blow that guy doors off? If we get some streamers in here. Of colors that are sort of similar to Red Stripe beer, but not exactly.
I was going
to
say, with the yellow green one, how that?
I don't, you know.
So that's our light beer, yellow.
I guess we're going with the Jamaican theme. But red, gold, and green is not Jamaican. Red, gold, and green is the Ethiopian or Ghanaian flag, and that's why Jamaican people, well, the Rastafarianism looks to Ethiopia and places like that with those colors. Red for the blood that flows like the river. The dead people, gold that was stolen from Africans, and green for the land that is Africa. It's nothing to do with Jamaica at all.
You know, you listen, you learn. That's how I look at it. That was very impressive, P.
Whatever.
We had our little CNN documentary moments as well here. That was deep. That was super.
I like Kim Kardashian like looks like an ant. Much better to me.
That's coming from a guy that swears he was born in Jamaica. So there you go.
It's hard coming up in Waterhouse, Fred. You know why they call it Waterhouse, right?
Why, P?
Open sewer. Tough life out there, man.
Conceived, not born, though.
No,
he was born there. No, he was born there.
In Jamaica.
I was actually conceived in Greece. My father told a story the other day at a family dinner. I left the table.
You didn't want to hear it?
Right around, let me tell you the story. I was at my uncle's house. But anyway, it's great to hear you guys talking about all that stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about stuff, too, today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all we know you are.
There's going to be a lot of stuff that we discuss.
A whole life, 4 hours worth.
Yeah, like what about LeBron? And
we talked about that.
And how about Kawhi?
We did that too.
And what about pressure?
Oh, we did that too.
Putting yourself on a time limit.
Yeah. What about
Paul George 3-part series?
We talked about that.
Nobody Julius Randle anyway.
The most interesting news of the day to me was Julius Randle being given the qualifying offer.
But didn't they have to?
Well, they had to, but they could have given him an extension. They didn't give him an extension. That means he's not going to be here.
Bye, Fred.
Or he'll be here. After
on a one-year deal?
No, after they find out what happens with everybody else.
Well, yeah. If they don't get any free agents, then yeah, they may. But they're still not going to extend him.
Hey, Fred,
that's the biggest news.
Do those glasses come apart in the middle?
No.
Oh. Hey, can I do my my Julius Randle impersonation for you?
Would you? Not TV.
You guys right. Like that?
Not TV.
What do you think, Fred? Will that fly on the challenge?
It would. Just,
I'm sure you'll pull it out.
Run somebody over, too. Go commit a charge.
Are you gonna hire me, or am I fired this year?
No, you're in.
I haven't been contacted.
You're in. You're back.
It's almost football season, Fred.
What if I hold out?
Do it.
Aaron Donald. Do it. Like, I haven't been to challenge minicamp. I'm not going.
Yeah, we never expect you to show up.
I'm not going to OTAs, Fred.
You don't need to.
I'm just going to show up and ball out on opening day, dude.
That'll
like
be
Aaron
fun.
Donald. I'm just going to start moving guards like they're nothing. Like they're traffic cones.
I'm just a player on the zone now. Living like Doug style. So I can't smile. Writing to my loved ones. Sending them pictures. Thinking Cali just sun and switches. Better learn about the dress code, B's and C's, all the motherfuckers.
Are you? I get tired when we're at Dodger Stadium.
Why?
I don't know, being outside, all the weirdos show up. All the weirdos.
Yeah, you end up talking double because all the people come in.
Yeah, just all the weirdos come in and they just weirdo out. I'm good for it for one day, two in a row. That's a pressure.
I had no idea how many 40-plus dudes come for BP still.